Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Shane Lowry rolling in a birdie putt on 18 to knock off Russell Henley and to retain the cup. They ended up getting another full point and beating the Americans over the weekend at Bethpage Black 15-13. But man, it was a rout over the first 2 days before the drama of day three. I know it coincides with football season, and that makes it rough for a lot of you that like this event. I watched a lot of it over the weekend. Steve Sands was, of course, a part of the coverage. He joins us right now. Steve would rather talk about the Atlanta loss on Sunday, but I haven't talked about Ryder Cup, and I just want to start with this simple question. Why are they better than us at this event?
It's a great question. First of all, two things, Kevin. The iPad may or may not have had the Sunday ticket on and watching the Falcons and Skins game while we were in the booth on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. You do that all
just
the time.
Just don't tell the boss.
Yeah.
I think the boss kind of knows, though.
Did you let out
monitors
like,
the trucks. Those monitors in the trucks, they definitely have football on somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. You've told me this before, that you guys that you know are on the PGA Tour, especially in these fall events, these big events when football's going on, you're basically, or like during the NCAA, during March Madness, you know, you're watching, you know, a lot of those games. I mean, have you ever, like in the midst of calling something, just blurted out, "Oh my God, Chris Rodriguez, just keep going, go!"
No, thank goodness,
you're a pro.
No, it's kind of like cursing. Hopefully it never happens, even though it happens all the time. No, that has not happened. But the other thing I was going to tell you was, but we do have a little sidebar of whatever NCAA turned during the Valspar Championship. I can't tell you how many times I've said Justin Thomas for birdie at 12, and then look to my left and see a last-second shot and not being able to react is very strange. But anyway, the other thing I was going to tell you was, to solve all those issues, you got to be married to Val Sands. Val Sands allows us to have three televisions in our family room set up nicely. Doesn't look like a sports bar, very classy, but it kind of solves the issue of in-game, red zone,
like
and Ryder
bar. It's very classy. I love that. Yeah, you know, there was a time in my marriage very early on where you'll appreciate this. Maryland basketball was on probation. Okay, these are the, you know, post-Bob Wade years, the early Gary Williams years. Yep. And in 1994, when they got really good again, she was like, "I didn't know that you were a Maryland basketball fan." I'm like, "It's actually my number one, sweetheart, and get used to it. These March runs are all enveloping, and we'll have multiple TVs on, but it'll look classy." All right, continue.
The reason that they are better, it's a great question, kind of unanswered, really. I mean, here's what I think. They're just better at the whole thing. They're not better players, Kevin, but they're just better at the entire operation. They have a system with their captains and vice captains. They do things correctly each and every time. Now, they don't win every time. American players 1 through 12 are better pretty much every year. They should be better, should be favored pretty much every year. But the Ryder Cup has gone to Europe 6 of the last 8 times it's been played. It's just crazy. And I think it's part preparation, Kevin. I think it's part picking the right captain, having the right vibe, very difficult for Keegan Bradley as a contemporary at 39 years of age, who plays with these guys all year, to make very difficult decisions that captains and coaches have to make as far as pairings, as far as sitting someone, delivering news that not necessarily is very comfortable. Luke Donald is a young guy, but he's a half generation ahead of the guys who played on the team. You know, he's in his mid-40s. So does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult for Keegan Bradley to say to Colin Morikawa and Harris English, you guys just lost 5-4 yesterday. We're not playing you today. But he put them out there again, and they got waxed again on Saturday, because it's got to be an awfully big challenge for Keegan Bradley, Kevin, to look at Colin Morikawa and Harris English, who he might be playing with this week at the Sanderson Farms Championship, or last week or 2 weeks ago at the Tour Championship or in Napa, and have to make very difficult calls. So I just think all around Europe is better at it.
Yeah, so I want to go back to Sunday. Sunday started with an injury to Victor Hovland. He woke up with a neck injury, couldn't play, and they have this thing called, you know, the envelope rule, where basically each team, rather than seeding the point, you know, based on an injury and defaulting that singles match, this is a long-standing rule, part of Ryder Cup. Each team gets a half point. But explain how the whole thing works in terms of the player on the U.S. roster that gets left out.
Yeah, it's been a long-standing rule. The rule needs to be changed, first and foremost. But the Ryder Cup is a lot different than it was back in 1927 and back in 1971 and all these other years. It's just completely different events. So the way it works is each team, just in case there is a scenario where a player can't go for whatever reason, family or health, they have to put a name in an envelope, and it's sealed. And if a player can't go, then the person who is matched up with him on the other team, in this case Harris English for the United States, was going to go in the 12th match with Victor Hovland. When Victor couldn't go, they unseal the envelope. It says Harris English, and Harris English can't play, and each team gets a half point. Here's the reason why that rule has to change, and it has to change, Kevin. You cannot be in professional sports. You can't be in Little League, in my opinion, but in professional sports at the highest level. If you can't go, if you can't compete, if you're not available, you can't earn anything. That's just not how sports work. It put them a half point closer. It didn't make a difference. That is not why the Americans lost. But since it did get a little closer there at the end, that rule now really comes into the fray of conversation and discussion, and that rule's got to be changed. If you're only as good as your availability. You know, it would have been great to have Jaden Daniels on Sunday at Atlanta. Probably would have been a different outcome. Maybe not, but you never know. And you can't just give a half point to the Europeans when Victor Hovland couldn't play. That's wrong. I think everybody knows it's wrong, and I think it's going to be changed.
Yeah, it was absurd. I mean, and it means a lot, even, you know, if it's, you know, 10-6, you know, at the end Saturday or 9-7. But when you put a team that is at 11.5 and 2.5 points away from retaining the cup, a half point closer, it was absurd. It's almost like juice boxes and goldfish time for,
that's
as you
exactly
said,
right,
Little League players. It has to be changed.
I totally agree. But here's the thing that I think, in my opinion, sounds like your opinion as well, there's no debate that the team that has the player who can't go should not earn a half point. I think that's really not up for debate. What is up for debate is what should happen in that match. Should they only have 27 points instead of 28 and not have that match count at all? Should the other side get a full point? Because let's face it, in tennis, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, woman against woman, if a player has to withdraw or has an injury or can't go, the other player advances to the next round. So that's up for debate, whether the Americans should have gotten
the correct answer.
Half point.
If Victor Hovland plays for the European team and can't go due to injury, then it's a walkover. It's a default. And Harris English wins that match, and the U.S. is awarded a point.
Well,
that's competition.
If that's exactly right. In my opinion, now you could debate that side of it, what should happen with that half point or full point. But to me, giving a half point to a team that has a player who can't go is 100% wrong. Just think about this. In all other aspects of golf, if you just want to do apples to apples, because golf, you know, all the way down the line, can't compare it to tennis or the other sports, whatever, because you can't do that to the other sports either. But in this particular sport, Kevin, if you're playing the junior amateur, if you're playing the mid-am, if you're playing the U.S. amateur, the U.S. women's amateur, if you can't go, that other player wins the match. So in the Dell match play, remember when it used to be in Austin and La Costa,
yep,
the WGC Dell match play championship? If a player couldn't go, the other player would advance. Now, this isn't advancing. This is a point system in the Ryder
Cup. Right, it's not a bracket.
But I'm with you 100%. If another player can't go for whatever reason, I don't think there should be an alternate. I don't think there should be any other scenario other than the other team gets the full point. By the way, I love Victor Hovland, and I'm not questioning him at all because he is a gamer, and he's a great guy. But he didn't have a problem lifting the Ryder Cup when they won. He didn't have a problem drinking beer when he won. So, you know, it's not like he's going across the middle on third and six here. Like,
yeah.
Let's tee it up and see what happens.
Right. We're talking to Steve Sands. So before we get to the lack of drama on the first 2 days and the drama on the last day, you were there. Tell us about the Bethpage Black New York crowd, which got a lot of criticism, including from Tom Watson, who basically apologized to the Europeans for the behavior of the American fans in New York.
I thought it was embarrassing for the Americans. I thought the United States embarrassed itself with some of the language. Look, me and you were huge sports fans. You know, I've heard it all at sporting events, and we heard it all last week. I have no problem with people roughing people up, people having a good time, people drinking too much, people saying things that might be a tad inappropriate or a tad coarse, or throw out a curse word in front of a little kid or an old lady, whatever you want to do. But if you're chucking beers at Erica McIlroy, if you're saying things that are so personal in their personal life. Now, I get it. They're public figures. They're athletes. And fans can say whatever they want. But have some class. And, you know, have a little bit of grace. Have fun. You know, there was a great moment where Rory was trying to button his button. And, you know, we've all been there. We're all trying to button a button with one hand. And we're not be able to get it in there. We're wiggling around like a four-year-old who's got to go pee and that kind of thing. And this fan yells, "You don't need a button to choke, Rory." That's sports. That's sports fans. That's fun.
Yeah.
Rory laughed his butt off. Tyrrell Hatton was laughing. Shane Lowry was laughing. That's cool. But to just say horrific, crass, rude things, to me, that's just not being a sports fan. That's social media and people being idiots and that kind of stuff. And the other thing is, the PGA of America, now it wasn't just the fans who embarrassed the United States of America around the world at this massive global sporting event. It's a huge, huge global sporting event. The PGA of America, Kevin, hired a woman to be kind of the person on the first tee to kind of get people jacked up, kind of like,
right,
you know, like a DJ kind of thing. But she's a comedian, kind of actress, I think, is what she does for a living. And she's yelling "F you, Rory" to the crowd to get them riled up. What are we doing here? I mean, Rory McIlroy is standing
first
tee, Kevin. She had to be removed from the position. She was not fired or let go, whatever you want to call it. But whatever she was not there on Sunday because, hey, what are we doing here? I mean, it's sports, for goodness sakes. Have fun. Have a great time. Drink all you want. And rough up whoever player you want to rough up. But, man, oh, man, have some class, for goodness sakes.
So I hear you completely, and I think that was part of the story going in, is what was this crowd going to be like? Because we as American sports fans understand that the New York sports fan is a bit different. Philly, yeah. New York, a bit different than kind of everybody else's, which, by the way, is what makes our favorite Maryland basketball fan base so great. There's a lot of Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia in it because so many of those kids that go to Maryland are from there. You know, I would say this, they shouldn't bring their families to this event. It's just like Coach K stopped letting the Krzyzewskis go to Kohl Fieldhouse and Comcast Center, and Mrs. Boozer, you know, and everybody else. They understood what the landscape would be like. I think they should have had a little bit more of self-awareness, and families probably shouldn't have been there for the European players.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything until that last part. I mean, look, you and I are both good friends with, you know, some of these Maryland coaches and what they've had, and what Dana Williams had to hear, what Ann Turgeon had to hear, you know, what Kevin Willard's wife had to hear and their kids had to hear. I get all that. But it wasn't directed at them. It was directed at the coaches, whether it was Cole or Xfinity or the players, whatever it is. When you have the family thing is part of the Ryder Cup. That's the deal. And it's always been that way. You know, the parents are inside the ropes. I was with Jerry McIlroy last week, having to hear his son hear things that you would never in your life want to hear. Again, this is out of the sports realm. I'm not trying to be soft. And I know we're a little softer in D.C. than they are in Philly and New York. I get that. But I'm not trying to be soft. I think it's fair game to say whatever you want. But if you want to act like a buffoon like that, that's your prerogative too, and I think that should be called out. And I think just the United States around the world, people were watching it going, okay, well, I mean, what? Give me a break here. Like, it was just a little over the top, that's all.
Yeah, we're talking to Steve Sands. So, you know, certainly Shane Lowry, when he closed out Henley, said it will not be the same at Adair. Adair is one of the most beautiful.
Huh? I don't know about that, Kevin. I've been to
especially the Irish, right?
I mean, give me a break.
I
don't know if there'll be the personal attacks, but I promise you, I have been to a lot of Ryder Cups on international soil in Europe. I'm telling you, Kevin, I know it won't be as bad, so Shane is technically right, but believe me, the Irish will get jacked up for that.
By the way, for those of you who don't know, we are 12 years away. Hopefully, we're all around for it.
Oh, yeah.
From the Ryder Cup being played at Congressional, which will be insane. All right.
And by the way, we love D.C., and we are homers to the core. They'll rough up the Europeans that week, too.
Have you ever seen on Friday and Saturday that many putts go down? It seemed like every single time they lined up for, you know, anywhere from an 8-footer to an 18-footer, they just were all going in.
I was in the booth Friday morning when we came on the air. We brought us on the air. It was me and Terry Gannon doing the play-by-play.
Yep.
With Nick Faldo and Nota Begay. And about halfway through.
By the way, the audio was a bit off. I don't know if you guys knew that. It was a bit frustrating. The audio was lagging.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
We know about it. we heard all about it. Obviously, that's really no one in particular's fault, but we heard. We definitely heard about it, without question, from friends like you and plenty of others. About halfway through the morning session, so we came on the air at 7, first ball in the air at 7:10, place is raucous. Everybody's going crazy. At about 9 a.m., we're in commercial. And I look over at Faldo and I go, I mean, Nick Faldo is one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. And I look over at Faldo and I go, what is going on here? He's like, it's just one of those days. And he's like, I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like this before. And we've seen a lot of Europeans make a lot of putts. Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia, down the line. But Friday morning was like, the Americans just got roundhouse, Kevin. I mean, they got bullied. It was nuts. And they're not better players. They're just better at this entire thing. That's it.
All right. Well, let's go to Sunday, and there's no chance. And then the half point awarded to each team because of the Hovland injury, it's 12-5. They need 14 to retain the cup. The U.S. needs 14.5. So it's a foregone conclusion that the Europeans are going to retain the cup, and probably by a sizable margin. As the day unfolds, when did you have kind of a sense that maybe there's a chance here? I mean, you know what? I want to back up. How badly did Scheffler need to win that match head up against Rory?
Had to be. The Americans had to win those first few matches just to see some red on the board And yeah. I'm always fascinated. I've told you this before. I'm fascinated in sports at momentum, especially in golf. I get it in other sports.
Right.
But in golf, momentum, it just, I'm not a psychology major. It just intrigues me how and why there can possibly be momentum in golf. But yet there is. So you see those early guys on the board. The Americans stacked the lineup. They had to put red on the board early, and they did. So the Scheffler match versus Rory was massive. But there's always, I said this on Saturday, and I said this on Sunday morning. I said it on Sunday when we came on the air at noon, just before the first ball went in the air. There's always a day, no matter what the score is, there's always about 30 or 45 minutes on Sunday at the Ryder Cup where you look up and go, well, if that goes that way, if that goes that way, if that goes that way, they got a chance. So to me, the entire day was get off to a good start for the Americans, which they did, and then the Lowry match was the key. If Lowry misses that putt on 18, Kevin,
yeah.
The Americans, I'm not going to say probably
would have
won.
Henley makes
won.
The putt. Let's start with that because he left the last
Henley.
Two on 16, on 17
Correct.
And 18 short.
But it was Lowry before that. If he doesn't do what he did on 18,
yeah.
Then I have no idea what's going to happen after that with Henley and Griffin and those guys. But the
Well, Henley was matched up against Lowry. I'm saying Henley could have closed him out by making that putt at 17, and then he left the one at 18 short as well.
He could have, but he didn't. And
yeah.
The key to that point was is that I know Henley missed on 16 and 17 and had a chance to close it out. But if Lowry doesn't sneak that in there, then that changes the entire
narrative
of everything that's behind
sure.
them. And that was enormous. Now, it was the clinching point, and I get that. But if he doesn't turn that around there, I think that is probably going to be the greatest comeback in the history of the Ryder Cup. In my estimation, as we were looking at the board, but it's a weird deal with momentum. The players see that red on the board, the players see the blue on the board, and they don't play any harder. They don't try any harder, but they're just feeling it. And it's just like every other sport. And the Henley Lowry match for us, when we were on the air on Sunday, that was the match as everything was unfolding. Everybody during commercial break kept saying, oh, this is the one that's going to matter the most.
Right.
And Henley was up, and he was on 16 and had a chance to win it.
Yeah.
Then we were all like, wow, the Americans are actually going to come all the way back here. But he didn't close it out on 16. It's not Russell's fault that they lost. But collectively, the Americans lost it. But that match was the key.
I totally agree, but I'm just curious. Were you and the others – weren't I was like confident Lowry when he got to 18 was like this guy just delivers all the time.
Yeah.
I did not think there was a chance he was going to miss that putt. Did you?
Well, I had the odd holes. So on 16, I thought to myself, if Russell doesn't win this, Shane Lowry's going to steal it. And Russell didn't close it out. He couldn't close it
yeah.
out. And I remember thinking on 17, Russell had another chance at the par three to get it done. And didn't. And when it got to 18, wasn't my hole. And I was just kind of sitting there watching it. And I'm like, you know what? Shane Lowry's going to close this out because that's what Shane Lowry does. Not that he is the greatest player in the history of the sport, but for whatever reason, when the money's on the line, Kevin, Shane usually comes up big, and he certainly
God, he
did
does.
This. Oh, man,
you know,
he does.
You talked about the pressure. Scheffler on it was on Saturday, I'm pretty sure. I think it was the Saturday four ball. It may have been the Saturday foursome. He shanked a shot on 18. He literally shanked one like any of us would. That's Scotty Scheffler. I was like, oh my God, they feel this more than any other event they play.
It's unlike any other event because it's an individual sport, and once a year you're playing with the team. Your schedule's a little bit off. Your preparation's a little bit off because you're not doing it the way you want to do it. You're doing it the way the team needs to do it. That, to me, is the biggest problem the Americans have. They overthink this thing, Kevin. It's golf. Fred Couples won three straight President's Cups. Different event, President's Cup versus Ryder Cup. I get it. But the philosophy, Fred, imposes on his players and his team is the correct way. Alleviate all the pressure. You handle all the heat and go tell your 12 guys, by the way, 12 of the greatest players in the world, go tell the 12 guys, play golf. I got everything else. Who you want to play with? How do you want to practice? Go ahead. Go play. Don't force tee times. Don't force partners. Don't force practice routines. I know you have to do a dinner and you got to do an opening ceremony, so it's a little bit thrown off. But, you know, if Scottie Scheffler likes to wake up and work out and then go eat something and then go chip and pitch and then go back inside or whatever he does as his routine, let him do his routine for the most part. Scheffler and all the American players felt the pressure, and they always do. And the Americans put more pressure on themselves this week, or last week, excuse me, at the Ryder Cup than any other time they play golf. And that includes major championships, because it's not just them. It's their partner. It's their team. It's their captain. And it's the America on their red, white, and blue everywhere. It's difficult. But Scotty was 0-4, you know, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
The number one player in the world. The Americans ended up losing by 2, and Scotty was 0-4 the first 2 days. You realize if one of those points flips, it's a tie. Now, they would have retained the cup, Europe would have, if they would have tied. But
right.
That's how close this thing usually is. One match flips, and all of a sudden things change quite a bit. And Scotty just didn't deliver last week. He did not play very well. That shot in particular was probably made a lot of us feel good, but that was a very difficult thing for Scotty.
All right, three quick ones to end it with you, and we'll talk football the next time you're on. Who was the star of this past weekend? Who was the biggest disappointment? And then what do we make of Keegan Bradley after all is said and done?
Well, the biggest disappointment, unfortunately, has to be Scotty when he only comes up with 1 point. The Americans lost by 2, and he's the best player on the planet by far, and he did not perform very well. Now, there's other things involved in that, but him particularly, he just didn't play great golf, his best golf, which is a shame. I thought the hero, that's the biggest disappointment of the week for the 24 players. I thought Tommy Fleetwood and Cameron Young were the two best players out there. God, Cameron Young played well, Kevin.
Yep.
And man, he should have been out there on the first tee as a New Yorker on Friday morning with Bryson DeChambeau, and let it rip, and let's get the momentum going, get red on the board, and let's crank it out. He played fabulous last week, and so did Tommy Fleetwood on the other side. As far as Keegan goes, very difficult spot for a contemporary, like I said earlier. 39 years of age, he plays with these guys. You know, usually the captain is a half generation ahead, like Luke Donald, you know, is in his 40s, while the other guys are much younger. They all know each other, but it's not the same when you're playing with and against these guys all the time. I thought he made a couple of choices that were interesting. The setup of the golf course was a little bit easier than it probably should have been. I know why. They didn't want it to be a slugfest like a PGA Championship at Bethpage or a U.S. Open at Bethpage, but it was set up a little bit easier than it should have been. I thought he should have been playing, but by definition, when you're the 13th ranked player in the world and you're a top 12 player in the United States and you don't play, by definition, you're making the team worse. And the other thing is, if you're going to have Bryson DeChambeau from LIV on the team, which is perfectly fine, he should have been on the team, I would have put Brooks Koepka on that team. He won the PGA in Bethpage Black. He is a bad man on the golf course, if there is such a thing in this sport. He's won 5 major championships. He is not afraid of the moment. And to me, there was just a lot of factors involved there. But Keegan was fine. The players didn't perform, and there were some interesting decisions made, but Keegan was put in a very difficult position.
All right. Thanks for doing this, as always. We'll talk football next time. Appreciate it.
Big spot Sunday, man. Need to go to L.A. and win.
I think they might.
I know. I saw the lines, only 2.5. I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I like that.
We think similarly. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for doing this.
All right, my man. Be good.
Steve Sands, everybody. When we come back, what did you learn from this past weekend? It can be about our team. It can be about anything sports-related, anything NFL-related, anything college football-related. What did you learn from this past weekend? 301-230-0980. I've got 2 of them for you when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what'd you learn from this past weekend? We've opened up phone lines if you want to weigh in. There's an open line or two, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Something from our football weekend or even our golf weekend that you learned and you want to share with everybody. I'll share mine and Max will share his in just a moment. But first, I do want to tell you about Window Nation's deal going on right now. October is here starting tomorrow, and so will the return of chilly air seeping into your home. That is, if you've got old, stuck, or cracked windows. Eliminate annoying drafts once and for all with top-quality replacement windows from Window Nation. Window Nation has some of the best replacement windows out there that you can buy. Their installation crews finish the job in a day or less, so you can get back to your daily routines with minimal interruption. Window Nation offers a lifetime warranty on their windows, so you can relax knowing your home is protected far into the future. And this month, when you buy two windows, you'll get two for free. Plus, there's no limit to how many windows you can replace with the buy two, get two free offer. And your total price includes one day installation. They'll also give you the option of paying nothing for 2 years. No down payment, no payments, and no interest until the year 2027. That's a big deal with the holidays right around the corner. Put an end to your window problems before this beautiful fall weather ends. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. All right, what did we learn from this past weekend? Couple of things for me. I didn't learn this. It was just confirmed because I actually thought Penn State was going to beat Oregon on Saturday night. They were a smell test pick for me. One of the six losses, 10-6-1 over the weekend. James Franklin just isn't a good enough coach for Penn State. I understand their success. I understand how much they've accomplished. That loss on Saturday night in overtime dropped Franklin's record against AP top 10 opponents to 4-21 at Penn State, including, get this, 1-18 against top 10 Big Ten teams. That's almost impossible to pull off if you are a Penn State. 1-18 against top 10 Big Ten teams with him at Penn State. Of course, the fans in Happy Valley, they've been frustrated for quite a while. And once again, you know, fire Franklin chants rung out, especially when they were down 17-3 in the fourth quarter. They had a miraculous comeback. They took a 24-17 lead in overtime, but they ended up losing 30-24. Franklin said about the loss and about the reaction from the fans, quote, "I get that narrative, and it's really not a narrative. It's factual. It's the facts," referring to his record against AP top 10 top 10 teams. He said, hold on for a second. He said, "I try to look at the entire picture and what we've been able to do here, but at the end of the day, we've got to find a way to win those games. I totally get it, and I take ownership. I take responsibility," closed quote. But I would say his now 160 160 winning percentage against AP top 10 teams, which is tied for the third worst record by a coach with a minimum of 25 games against top 10 teams at a single school since the AP poll began in 1936. I think if Penn State doesn't come back and at least get to where they got to last year, which was the national semifinals, which was a big deal for him in that playoff and getting to that round of the postseason. But I don't know, man. I think it's what you're stuck with James Franklin if you're going to go that route. The other thing I learned from this past weekend is that Ty Simpson, along with Carson Beck, are my two favorite pro prospect quarterbacks for the upcoming draft. I don't think this is going to be a stellar top of the draft. You're going to see quarterbacks taken, you know, very high, many of them. But I think Ty Simpson is the whole package. Now, I don't think he's an elite level NFL quarterback, but he is smart. He is tough. He can make every single throw. He is mobile. He's 6'2.5", 6'3". I like Ty Simpson, and I like this Alabama quarterback. I really like Ty Simpson. It's interesting because after they lost to Florida State, I came in here, you know, that next week when we were previewing, I think, week two, because that was Labor Day weekend, and I said, I don't think he was the problem in that game. Their defense was the problem in that game. I thought Ty Simpson was pretty good in that loss in Tallahassee. Bama plays Vandy this week. They still have games against LSU and Oklahoma down the road. I think Bama with Kalen DeBoer, they're going to bounce back off that season opening loss, and they're going to end up being a playoff team because they have one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Carson Beck is the other one for me. I know that there are issues with his personality, and so those are the things we don't, you know, spend a lot of time on because we're not exactly sure what these guys are in a meeting with NFL, you know, front offices and what the, you know, due diligence will unveil. I know this, though. He can make every throw, and that game Saturday night against Florida State in Tallahassee is a huge game for the Noles, for sure, after they lost to UVA. Max, what did you learn from this past weekend?
So I'll start off with college football over the weekend. Mississippi State strikes me as a very for real team. I think they're going to be competitive down the stretch.
They lost in overtime to Tennessee.
Yes, I know. Yeah. But I do think that they're going to fill that role that kind of the Florida Gators had last year down the stretch, where like they beat Ole Miss and knocked them out of the playoff. I think Mississippi State is going to be that team this year, so keep an eye on them.
To knock Ole Miss specifically out?
No, just to knock somebody. Okay. Not sure who, but
yeah, they've got Texas, they've got Arkansas, they've got Georgia, and they've got Ole Miss all on the schedule the rest of the way.
Yeah, so there's going to be at least one team in there that they
got A&M this weekend.
That might be a good one. All right, and then moving to the NFL, I think the Saints, they're not good, but they are frisky. Ooh. They're in games. They make them fun. They could have feasibly won that game against the Bills at the end, but, you know, the Saints are the Saints, and Kellen Moore.
They were down two in the fourth
quarter. I don't know how, Kellen Moore fails to manage the game is really how I'm going to put it. And then moving to the West Coast, the Rams, they're a legit contender. I think that they... Blake Corum splitting carries with Kyren Williams is going to be a huge welcome addition to that backfield. Kind of takes the workload off of Williams a little bit. I know he's been dealing with injury the past couple years, especially later in the season when he's been getting really banged up. So I think this is going to be helpful to keep him fresh. And then my last one, Brian Callahan is not going to make it through the rest of the season. I think he's going to get the Nate Hackett treatment. Like Cam Ward coming out and saying, oof, I'll keep it a buck, we ass, is... really all you need to say. I think Brian Callahan, and last night, man, I don't know if it's recency bias, but Zach Taylor did not look competent either. And Jamar Chase,
it looks
let
like
everybody
he's losing
know.
The team a little bit.
Jamar
Chase, by the way, I thought at times was unprofessional last night.
Quite a bit.
For the highest paid receiver in the league and a true gift, a gifted player, he was in full diva mode last night. He really was. I thought that he looked like he gave up on multiple plays. By the way, you mentioned Tennessee. I'm telling you, this dude, that I'm going to mention has been one of the best and is still one of the best. And he may have had the highlight sack of the weekend on Sunday against C.J. Stroud in Houston. Jeffrey Simmons is an absolute interior beast.
He's an animal.
Of a lineman. He is so good. And he's wasting away in Tennessee. All right, I see some of you on hold. We've got an open line if you want to jump in. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What'd you learn from this past weekend? We'll take your calls next.
All right, it is Tuesday, September 30th. Monday Night Football was last night. The doubleheader, and boy, was it not good. In the battle between two 0-3 teams, the Dolphins, they beat the Jets 27-21, but it was not as close as the scoreboard would lead you to believe. Tua Tagovailoa looked back on his game, throwing for 177 yards and two touchdowns, both of which went to Darren Waller, who seems to have risen from retirement with three receptions last night, again, two of which ended up being touchdowns. Not all sunshine and rainbows, though, for Miami. Tyreek Hill goes down in the third quarter after dislocating his knee and tearing multiple ligaments in that region. According to NFL insiders, he will have surgery later this afternoon. The second of the doubleheader, Broncos defense had Jake Browning and the Bengals in hell, and the Bengals defense looked like they were already in it as Bo Nix threw for 326 yards and two touchdowns, including one interception. Final score, Broncos win 28-3. Caps, they get going in the preseason matchup tonight versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Logan Thompson expected to get the full 60 minutes tonight. Puck drop at 7 p.m. That'll be over on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Den's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports talk on this 980 signal is presented by our friends at Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, Washington was on CBS on Sunday with their game against the Falcons, and they don't have another CBS game this year. You know, I was looking at the schedule. Basically, the 3 1 o'clock games over the first 4 weeks of the season, they don't play another 1 o'clock game until December 7th, a day that will live in infamy. Sunday, December 7th at Minnesota is their next 1 o'clock game. And who knows, by then, potentially, it could get flexed to the 4 o'clock window. Who knows? But 4:25 this week, then Monday Night Football against the Bears, 4:25 against Dallas, then Monday Night Football against the Chiefs, then Sunday Night Football against Seattle, then the 4:25 window against Detroit, then Madrid at 9:30, and then Denver on Thanksgiving weekend on Sunday night. That's the next 8 games before we get the next 1 o'clock game. I kind of like 1 o'clock games. It's not because I don't like staying up. I'm fine staying up and watching. But you just get to it quickly. Paulie, what'd you learn from this past weekend?
Hell to the W. What's going on, big guy?
What's up, big fella?
I learned from the weekend, and then I just learned 5 seconds ago listening to you read that schedule is this Commanders team better hurry up and find an identity or what they want to lean their hat on, because right now this team is bipolar. And,
well, five might be a part of the identity. He's just got to be on the field.
Nah, this is a strategical identity. What do you want to be as an offense, and what do you want to be as a defense? I think they lost. They don't got that secret sauce as a little tangy this year, man. Darren Quinn got a – he better perfect his
somebody should ask him about what the secret sauce man. Tastes like right now.
Yeah, right. The secret sauce ain't tasting too good right now, right. man. You need to get that ingredients together, man. Yeah. I mean, all the parts are there. You know, the parts are there for it, but they ain't cooking this dish right through four games. So they need to find an identity, man. College football, man, NIL is great for college football. I never thought I would say that, but it's bringing parity from one coast to the next coast. It don't seem like you got to run the table or be undefeated or just even, you know, you can have one or two or three losses.
Well, that's not NIL driven. That's playoff driven.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also NIL driven too because these guys are going where the money is taking them. So teams are able to build quicker.
Look yeah, but what NBA. I'm saying is losing early used to be a death sentence. It's not anymore because we've got a 12-team playoff.
But I'm just talking about the complete.
I love
the
sport. I love the sport.
Right.
I mean, for all the talk about how NIL and Portal are ruining college sports, when the games begin and they're scheduled like they are with football during the fall, it's not impacting my enjoyment of Saturdays at all. At all.
In the past, it seemed that it was top heavy. You had to be a big boy university out of a big boy conference. Now it seems like everybody got a chance, man. You know what I mean? And also, another thing I learned this weekend is, my boy with the Golden Domers, Reggie Love, is the best running back in college football.
God,
hail to the W, baby.
They could still run the table easily and be a playoff team, although a lot of their opponents are not going to be as good as once thought. Thanks. Thanks, Paulie. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne in College Park, what did you learn from this past weekend?
Well, Kevin, I got a chance to go to Wisconsin and see my Maryland Terrapins play out there.
Well, that wasn't this weekend. That was last weekend.
They might have a real team. Oh, you're right. It's been like 10 days ago.
Yeah.
My point still is they might have a real team. Just talked to Steve Suter about the same thing. That defense is amazing. I'm wondering what you're thinking because I know you're a Terp.
I love the defense. Wisconsin's quarterback situation was an absolute mess, right? Billy Edwards played three or four plays. They went with that number 18, O'Neal. I told Steve, man, there are a few players defensively that just look like, you know, night two, day three picks already. The kid Sidney Stewart, 29, is a star. Reddick, 3. Wingate, number 1. They got some real studs on defense. Now, we'll see when they face better offensive teams because Wisconsin is down and they've got a bad quarterback. Malik Washington just got named the freshman of the year so far in college football, the Terps quarterback by ESPN. He's going to get tested this week. He's going to get tested this week at home against Washington. We'll find out how good they are, Wayne, in the next few weeks. I mean, with Washington and Nebraska both at home, and by the way, Washington coming off a tough physical beatdown against Ohio State and the Terps with a bye week, it should be a good spot for Maryland to play well. But we'll know a lot more about this team after the next two games.
You will. They got a chance with, as you said, Washington, Nebraska, and then at UCLA.
Yeah.
All you need is one or two of those games to make it a real season in college.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to just be bowl eligible at 6-6. I think they're going to get there, you know, with UCLA and with, you know, a possibility of a Rutgers or a Michigan State at home at the end of the year, even this Saturday. But I want to see if we can turn this into a special season, you know, where they win, you know, 7-8 regular season games and, you know, are legitimately competitive against some of the better teams on their schedule. As you know, no Ohio State, no Penn State on the schedule this year is a benefit. Thanks,
no
Wayne.
Oregon.
Good to hear your voice. Let's go to Mike in Silver Spring. Mike, go ahead. What'd you learn from this past weekend? Mike? No Mike? What about... Let's go to Samaj. Samaj, finish it up. Go.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Thanks for taking my call as always, yep. Max. Thanks. Hey, man, Kev, you know we went on the same timeline, dude, and thus spoiled by the greatest coaching staff ever in the NFL. And I based that on if we came up shorthanded with the game plan coming in, we made the right adjustments at halftime between Gibbs and Pettibone, and we always came out second half guns blazing, and oftentimes took a loss from the hands of defeat. I mean, from the hands of victory, and we could turn that thing around and win. I just don't see it so far. I'm not really seeing it from Kingsbury. I'm definitely not seeing it from Coach Witt. And that's why every time I get something or see something or somebody speaks to me about something on social media, his name is being trashed all up and down more so than the defense is being trashed. So,
yeah, I'm hearing you. I got to run. I'm up against a hard break. We got to get to Russell, who's waiting to jump on here. But I think we got a couple more games. I'd like to see if they make any personnel changes this week. We got surprised with some of the personnel changes 2 weeks ago along the offensive line. I wonder if one is forthcoming this weekend. Chris Russell next, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.